Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Once again, we offer our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at a 1969 First Presidency Statement that deals with the race issue. And the reason why we're discussing this is because in December of 2013, the Mormon Church posted a new statement regarding race and the priesthood, trying to give an explanation as to why the Mormon Church prohibited members of African heritage from holding the priesthood for much of its history. We naturally were not very convinced by some of the excuses and arguments that they raised in that statement, but today we want to look at the one portion towards the end of the statement that talks about where the Mormon Church is today. In that December 2013 statement, it says that the church disavows the theories advanced in the past, and it gave four theories in this paragraph. One being that black skin is a sign of divine disfavor or curse. Two, that it reflects actions in a premortal life. Three, that mixed race marriages are a sin. And four, blacks or people of other race or ethnicity are inferior in any way to anyone else. In the 1969 First Presidency Statement, they are going to address this subject matter that throughout its history, as we've said yesterday, tended to dog the Mormon Church. They just couldn't get away from it. And so in 1969, December 15th, 1969, the First Presidency, as it says in the beginning of the statement, there was a meeting of the First Presidency in the Quorum of the Twelve, and their decision was to restate the position of the church with regard to the Negro, both in society and in the church. And Eric, as you were reading the statement yesterday, we saw that what they were trying to do at the beginning of the statement was to draw a distinction between what the church feels officially are civil rights that should be given to all citizens of the United States, regardless of their ethnicity, and religious rights, I guess you could say. And so they're making this distinction saying, look, we're not trying to take away any civil rights from any black members of the church. We're not trying to do that at all. But the state, by the very nature of the First Amendment, should not infringe on our beliefs. And if this happens to be a belief that we as a church hold, the state needs to stay out of it. And that was mainly the premise. So we're looking at this statement. They've made a very clear distinction where it says, it follows therefore that we believe the Negro, and remember folks, that was the term that was used in the 60s. We're just using the terms that are in the statement itself. As well as those of other races, should have his full constitutional privileges as a member of society. And then the next paragraph, there was this big however. However, matters of faith, conscience, and theology are not within the purview of the civil law. The First Amendment to the Constitution specifically provides that, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
It goes on and says, the position of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints affecting those of the Negro race who choose to join the church falls wholly within the category of religion. It has no bearing upon matters of civil rights. In no case or degree does it deny to the Negro his full privileges as a citizen of the nation. This position has no relevancy whatever to those who do not wish to join the church. Those individuals, we suppose, do not believe in the divine origin and nature of the church, nor that we have the priesthood of God. Therefore, if they feel we have no priesthood, they should have no concern with any aspect of our theology on priesthood, so long as that theology does not deny any man his constitutional privileges.
Now, I can see what they're saying there. If you don't think we are what we claim to be, that's your business. Mm-hmm. Why should it bother you? It's kind of like when I hear atheists griping about Christians who say that non-believers are going to hell, And these atheists are complaining about that. I'm going, well, why? You don't believe in it anyway. So why are you griping that somebody might believe that you are destined for eternal punishment when you don't believe in God anyway? And you don't believe in eternal punishment. Why does it bother you so much? Just ignore it. So I kind of understand the argument that they're making here. I can see it from their position.
But we see back, especially in the 1970s, BYU was having a hard time in the Western Athletic Conference. A lot of the schools were not wanting to participate in the track meets and the other sporting activities because of this doctrine. It caused a lot of problems in the mid-70s especially. Mm-hmm. And there were some boycotts that took place with BYU. So they felt it was their duty to stand up for what they felt should be equal rights, and they didn't feel that in the Mormon church there were equal rights. We talked about yesterday. There's no spiritual equal rights for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and says in this statement, a word of explanation concerning the position of the church.
Now listen carefully, folks, because now they're going to explain what is the position of the church at this particular time, 1969, December 15th, 1969?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints owes its origin, its existence, and its hope for the future to the principle of continuous revelation. Quote, we believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. End quote. From the beginning of this dispensation, Joseph Smith and all succeeding presidents of the church have taught that Negroes, while spirit children of a common father and the progeny of our earthly parents, Adam and Eve, were not yet to receive the priesthood for reasons which we believe are known to God, but which he has not made fully known to man.
Now, a lot of Mormons have capitalized on that phrase and said, well, we really don't know. Notice the wording, folks. He has not made fully known to man. That does not mean that he has not allowed the leaders of the Mormon church to have some glimpse as to the reasons behind the ban. He didn't just say ban them, and he gave no reasons whatsoever to these leaders, because these leaders said that God did reveal a certain amount, and they used to teach it. And they taught it in conference. They taught it in manuals. They taught it in their books. They taught it in their speeches. So even though they say that he is not made fully known to man, don't allow any Mormon to try and tell you that they did not have at least some idea as to why the ban was in place. And that is exactly what the new statement is trying to imply.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all theories. And that isn't true. It's not true at all.
It goes on, our living prophet, President David O. McKay, has said, quote, the seeming discrimination by the church toward the Negro is not something which originated with man, but goes back into the beginning with God.
Now notice that. This is David O. McKay, who at this time is the current leader of the church. Now, as we mentioned, at this particular time, he is incapacitated. He's having his counselors do a lot of the work in running the church for him, but he is still the president of the church, and they are going to cite the current president of the church, David O. McKay, to support the position. And he said, the discrimination by the church toward the Negro is not something which originated with man. Yet we hear this one spokesman, this one black Mormon member, Darius Gray, he loves to say how it did not begin with God, that God didn't put the curse on him, but it was lifted by God. That, Mr. Gray, is not what David O. McKay said. It is not something which originated with man, but goes back into the beginning with God. Now, remember, we've been talking about the fact that the church now wants to blame Brigham Young,
yeah,
and they don't want to give the blame or the credit, depending on how you look at it, to God himself. Here is David O. McKay clearly giving the credit to God.
There's more that they quote from McKay. Revelation assures us that this plan antedates man's mortal existence extending back to man's pre-existent state.
Now, doesn't that contradict what is in this new statement where it said that one of the theories was that it reflects actions in a pre-mortal life? David O. McKay said just that.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation, not Brigham Young's opinion, not the misguided culture that was affecting leaders for much of Mormonism's history, but revelation, David O. McKay said, assures us that this plan antedates man's mortal existence, extending back to man's pre-existent state, and that is exactly what Mormon leaders were teaching up until 1978. To put this in a category of theory is certainly to rewrite the Mormon Church's history. He goes on to quote McKay still in the next sentence.
And he says, sometime in God's eternal plan, the Negro will be given the right to hold the priesthood.
Now, if you take that statement and lift it from its context, it sounds as if David O. McKay may have entertained the idea that sometime during this mortality that this change was going to take place and blacks would be allowed to hold the priesthood. But that is not what David O. McKay believed. I remember him telling this, there's a story of him in one of the books where a reporter came up to him and asked him when that was going to be lifted. And he said, not in my lifetime, right, son, and not in yours. And why did he say that? Because it was taught by Mormon leaders that this change would not take place. Blacks would not be allowed to hold the priesthood until every one of Adam's posterity had the opportunity to embrace Mormonism. And Brigham Young taught that it wouldn't happen until after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take this statement by McKay, take it out of context, and I think a lot of Mormons today are doing exactly that, mm-hmm, making it sound like that change was meant to be made in 1978. But again, that's a rewrite of history. That's not what early leaders were saying. The statement goes on, and we want to finish this up. But he goes on to say that we recognize those who do not accept the principle of modern revelation. They may oppose our point of view. We repeat that such would not wish for membership in the church, and therefore the question of priesthood should hold no interest for them. Without prejudice, they should grant us the privilege afforded under the Constitution to exercise our chosen form of religion, just as we must grant all others a similar privilege. So basically, it just goes on to say, look, if you don't agree with us, that's your business. You don't have to agree with us. That's my attitude to the non-religious who find what I believe to maybe be strange. I'll say, well, if you don't believe it, that's fine. But at least I'm allowed under the law to believe what I want, as wrong as you may think it is. As wrong as we may think the Mormons are, we at MRM certainly grant them the right to believe whatever they want. But at the same time, I think we should also be granted the right to criticize what we feel might be in error, especially when the Mormon Church claims to be a Christian organization. The point we're trying to make here, folks, is that what they're saying today is theory was not a theory in the past, and you need to understand that the Mormon Church is trying to rewrite its own history on this matter.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.